This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Earlier this month, the La Crosse City Council approved a goal for the city to use 100% renewable energy by the year 2050. La Crosse is the fifth city in Wisconsin to make the pledge, following Eau Claire, Madison, Monona, and Middleton. Joining us in studio to talk about how the goal will impact the community and how La Crosse could meet it are Tim Cabot, mayor of the city of La Crosse, and Kate Beaton, an Eau Claire City Council member and organizer for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Mayor Cabot, I wonder if you could start by explaining in more detail the city's goal to become carbon neutral by 2050.
The pledge that the council adopted was part of the Ready for 100 effort, or the other initiative that I signed on to a few years ago was the Mayors for Clean Energy. So this has been in the works for the last couple of years, really trying to reduce and ultimately eliminate our need for fossil fuels when it comes to our city operations. So the our building needs and what we need for fuel for our transportation fleet. Part of the effort also includes that larger community goal as well, to make La Crosse, at like Eau Claire and the others that you mentioned, really focused on renewable energy and deriving our needs from that clean, renewable, those sources.
And so how will the city be kind of tracking this goal, and kind of who will be looking after the city's milestones and whether they're meeting them?
We'll continue the efforts that we have had in place for several years now. Back in 2009, the city adopted a sustainability plan and identified a number of goals at that time, which included reducing our carbon footprint by 25% by the year 2025, and then we were also seeking to have more of our energy needs to be met with renewable energies. And then there were a number of other goals related to solid waste and recycling and all that. So I think it's now been maybe 5 years. We have an indicators report that we issue every year. Between both the city and the county of La Crosse, we track all of our energy usage. We track what our needs are in our facilities, what we need for our transportation fleet, how much water we use. I mean, basically, the resources that we are, both consumers of, but then also stewards of, we measure that. So the resolution that the council passed established a base year for 2015. And we'll go forward from there, again, tracking our carbon footprint and how much we're hopefully reducing, and then looking at the increase in the amount of energy that we get from renewables.
And how did the city kind of arrive at this 2050 year mark?
That was really part of, and it's based on a lot of what was discussed as a part of the Paris Climate Agreement from several years ago. And I think there was, and that was really the mayors around the country, when the president, in essence, pulled the United States out of our commitments as a part of the Paris Climate Agreement. The many mayors around the country, we took that upon ourselves to make the pledge that, regardless of what kinds of rhetoric and politics at the national level, we were still going to do everything in our power to have our communities try to meet those goals. So the big goal of trying to be totally renewable by 2050, that's coming from, and really it's a lot of the scientific background, those thresholds and things that we really need to try to achieve. So that we can start to turn around some of these impacts from all the CO2 that's in our atmosphere.
So Eau Claire was the first city in Wisconsin to kind of make this pledge to be carbon neutral by 2050. Kate, can you talk a little bit about how the effort in Eau Claire got started?
Yeah, the effort in Eau Claire really got started, like the mayor said, with the president pulling the United States from the Paris Climate Agreement. I had been serving in the city council, and had been really frustrated by that, and so we started looking at what we can do locally to do better about cutting our carbon emissions. You know, realizing that there's less power that we have over the president and what he does, but we can certainly make a lot of change here locally. And so we made a local commitment in Eau Claire to the Paris Climate Agreement, which jump-started a lot of work being done by our sustainability committee to look at what that really meant for our local community. We did a survey, a public support survey, that showed that something like 80% of the community supported the city working with our utility to pursue a community-wide renewable energy goal. And so then in 2018, we passed our commitment to 100% renewable energy. We're now working on creating our renewable energy action plan. It's a community effort to create that plan so we can achieve these really ambitious goals. So.
You know, it's interesting that both you, Kate, and Mayor Cabot has brought up the Paris Climate Agreement and kind of the international landscape that that this conversation is also kind of taking place on, of looking at, carbon use and reducing that. And, you know, I just wonder, how much can a city like Eau Claire or a city like La Crosse really do to kind of get at these really big issues of carbon use and switching more toward renewable energy?
Yeah, actually, I hear that a lot in the work that I've done around the state on local municipal clean energy initiatives. But actually, one in five Americans now are being represented by communities who have made 100% renewable energy goals. And so this is truly adding to a movement. There's a lack of action on the federal and even the state level to do our part to make sure that we're protecting our communities from climate change. And so we're adding to this movement that is empowering local communities to cut carbon emissions locally.
Mayor Cabot, I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue of, how much La Crosse can really, in the grand scheme of things, help move the needle on this issue.
Well, I believe that it's going to take many efforts and many communities to ultimately achieve the bigger goals that we're looking at, just like with the experience that we've had as a city operation over the last, 10, 15 years. It hasn't been any single one project that has helped us to reduce our carbon footprint. It's been many, many different initiatives amongst many departments and opportunities, and that's what I see a lot of similarities with the fact that you've got local communities who are taking that responsibility and call to action very seriously. I think it's indicative of where we're at the local level and how much gets done. The fact that we face all of the challenges and issues when it comes to the impacts from climate change and seeing more often and more severe storm events and flooding and all that, we have to deal with it. We don't have the luxury of, arguing about politics and all that. We really have to get things done. So I think it reinforces the fact that the problem solvers are at the local level. And I applaud Eau Claire. I applaud those communities. I think it says a lot about our state and the communities that are in our state that really want to be part of the solution rather than just, kind of throwing your hands up and saying, well, it's too big of a problem, we can't do it. Well, actually, no, if we start to buckle down right now, if we can look back, 5-10 years in the future or look forward in 5-10 years in the future and say, hey, we made some significant progress.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about how the city of La Crosse could reach its new goal of becoming 100% powered by renewable energy. We're here with La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot and Eau Claire City Council member Kate Beaton, who also is an organizer for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Kate, I know that Eau Claire the City Council just kind of approved this goal in, at the end of last year, so it's only been a little bit of time, but I wonder if you could share maybe how the city is maybe already working towards that first milestone.
Yeah, so we are working to create our renewable energy action plan through a public engagement process. We're looking at different ways, different policies to implement, such as, related to our municipal fleet, related to how new buildings are being built, related to our waste management in our city. Trying to put together that plan, sourcing ideas from all across the community, from all different types of people and with different expertise. And so we're hoping to have that plan completed by the end of the year. That will inform a lot of the road ahead. But already, even despite not having that plan finished yet, we have seen significant strides forward towards these goals being achieved. For the first time ever, the City of Eau Claire City Council allocated dollars within our capital improvement plan and our capital improvement budget to invest in clean energy infrastructure. And we're seeing really a change of paradigm with our city staff who are carrying out all of our city functions and operations to put this clean energy lens over everything that we do. So the biggest or smallest decision we make, we're always considering how we can implement clean energy and cut energy usage to pursue those goals.
Can you talk a little bit more about what that infrastructure is and maybe some of the, what the exact cost is to the City of Eau Claire so far for this sort of planning and also investments?
Mm-hmm. Just later today, we're going to be approving the capital improvement budget for the City of Eau Claire for the next, the plan is for the next 5 years, and there's $3 million allocated over the next 5 years for clean energy infrastructure. And in that budget, it includes projects like solar energy as a backup system for our wastewater treatment facility. If the power were to go out for a significant amount of time, we obviously have functions within our city that need to continue, like the wastewater treatment facility. Within that budget is a solar system that would power the wastewater treatment facility in the event of an emergency. So it's infrastructure like that helps to run our city that previously had been run on fossil fuels that we're looking for ways to run with renewables.
Mayor Cabot, I wonder if the City of La Crosse is kind of undertaking, a similar kind of planning period as we kind of move forward with starting this goal.
Yes, we are. And we're also, I'm sure, much like Eau Claire and the other communities, anytime you have opportunities with projects to either look at renewables or ways to improve the energy efficiencies of buildings or equipment or whatever, you try to take advantage of that. And La Crosse has been doing that as well. We have our sustainability plan is now on its 10-year anniversary. Our staff is working on some updates to that to reflect the fact that many of those goals from 10 years ago we have achieved. There's still others out there that are, either in the works or are still part of our plans. And then as a part of this effort with the Ready for 100 in the clean energy piece, we're looking at some new initiatives and a couple of those, one of them I can highlight, it's called an Exergy system. So Exergy, it's really a look at trying to produce more of your energy locally. So we're working with a team, including folks with our utilities and our staffing, to identify opportunities where we could produce more of our own power locally, and just kind of, again, the relationship with our utility, Xcel Energy, that provides our power, as well as some things coming down the pipeline where we are also looking at our wastewater treatment plant and how we have, excess methane as a part of that chemical process that right now is basically being, it's a waste product. We're looking at ways to reuse that. So it's projects big and small and in between that will be work that we're currently working on and will continue to work on as a part of this effort.
It sounds like it's very interconnected with a lot of
other projects within the city and, as you said, kind of woven into, projects that are regularly coming up.
Right.
But I wonder if we do have an understanding of how much this initiative could cost the city.
Well, we haven't necessarily tallied up the total cost. Part of what we'll be looking at are opportunities, again, when it comes to our facilities and our energy use. I can give you a couple of examples so that folks get an idea. I mean, you know, just recently we purchased two electric buses and the charging stations, the infrastructure, as we update and replace our bus fleet here in the city. We are looking for, again, those opportunities. The electric buses are a bit more expensive, the battery systems and whatnot. But the long-term and life cycle payback, I think, is very much important to the city and to our taxpayers. We have, as we've tracked over time, the 10-plus years now that we've had our plans in place, we know that on average we save roughly $200,000 to $300,000 with the investments that we've made these past 10 years, whether it's the, going to the cart system for our solid waste and recycling and having, less tipping fees and less cost at the landfill and recycling more, or if it's all of the lighting technologies and looking at things like variable frequency motors and all that, and what you save on your monthly energy bill, those costs do benefit taxpayers. So there is, there's an initial upfront investment, of course, but like in our project that we're doing right now with Johnson Controls, we have four facilities that we're updating all of the lighting, as well as in several of them, we're doing new chillers and boilers because, in City Hall, it's from 1970, it's our original chiller and boiler. So we're redoing that. And it makes a lot of sense, the really high energy or high efficiency type systems, we're implementing those. And, the total project with all four of those facilities is a little over $4 million, I believe. But we're going to see energy savings going forward, basically forever from this point on. So there is upfront cost. We haven't tallied the total as far as what that impact is, but we know we see those savings each year as a part of our budget.
Kate, I want to
just add, I think about this a lot, the cost to achieve these goals. But I think that as we see the cost of renewable energy decreasing so rapidly now, to look at how we're going to be achieving these goals over the next 30 years, it's impossible to know what that cost is going to be. We know that some of the technology that we're going to need to achieve these goals possibly doesn't even exist yet, and so we of course don't know what that costs until it's invented. And so so I think that to know that number is just impossible. It might be possible to know that number, what it would look like if we were to do all the things today, but the solutions to this issue are going to be changing over the next 30 years, and we just don't know how they're going to change. I'd also like to add too that, while we don't know exactly what that cost is, it's sure to be something, and it's probably something significant. But the cost of climate change is so much higher. We're already seeing communities investing in mitigation strategies to prevent, destruction to our cities due to flooding, due to intense storms. And we're seeing communities who are having to repair their infrastructure now due to flooding or intense storms, or taking care of their people as extreme heat or extreme cold is impacting their communities. And so I think that, that also should be considered when we talk about the cost of these solutions.
Kate, I wonder if these examples of thinking about renewable energy and investing in reducing carbon use, if that also translates to, helping residents possibly think about these goals in that way as well, and thinking and encouraging residents to think about those investments as a cost savings as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as I mentioned previously, our goals are set for not only the city organization, but also the community at large. And so our goals are to make the city's operations 100% renewable, as well as the private citizen and private businesses. And so the goals that we're talking about right now and the solutions that we're talking about within our Renewable Energy Action Plan are addressing those things. How can we facilitate private people and private businesses be, chasing these goals just along with the city in a collaboration? And I think in a lot of ways, the collaboration that the city of Eau Claire has had with Xcel Energy, our energy utility, has been really a huge asset for us, and really has enabled us to be able to make these really aggressive goals. Xcel Energy was one of the first, and I think the largest energy utility to commit to 100% renewable energy by 2050. And so that's really going to enable private citizens to be able to achieve these goals as well. And certainly Xcel Energy has been really clear that they made those goals because their customers want it. And so that interest is already there in our communities. It's just about working with people to help them achieve that.
That's Eau Claire City Council Member Kate Beaton. Here with us today to talk about efforts to make cities like La Crosse and Eau Claire powered solely by renewable energy. She's joined by La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Mayor Cabot, I wonder if you could also speak to the idea that, you know, a lot of achieving this goal depends on, you know, residents buying into it and businesses buying into this.
We're fortunate that we have a lot of good examples here in La Crosse. If you're talking, you know, about Gunderson Health System, Western Technical College, there's many of those types of companies who are also making very significant and setting goals and making significant investments in renewable energy. And Gunderson is one of our partners, potentially with our methane project that we're looking at to convert that into energy from our wastewater treatment plant. So I do believe that as a part of a government's role, and especially at the local level, we should be setting a very good example and a high standard and be a role model. And that's part of what the resolution and the efforts talk about. Is as a city organization, we should have those goals and you know, walk the walk, so to speak. We are looking at ways to continue to engage our community, so not only the businesses but our residents as well. We just completed a very successful home energy challenge as a part of a program that Xcel Energy and Focus on Energy roll out every year, and that's to encourage people to make more investments in improving the energy of their home, so insulation and air handling and air quality and all that. We provided some additional incentive from the city to try to encourage greater participation in La Crosse, and we saw those results. We had, I believe, over 50 projects in La Crosse where people made those investments and greatly, improved the energy efficiency of their individual home, and then, you know, they'll see the savings in their monthly energy bills. So it's those types of, again, efforts that are going to be required, and we'll be looking for ways to partner. Xcel Energy is also La Crosse's energy provider here, and so we've had those conversations with them as well, as how do we work together to encourage Xcel to keep making those investments in renewable energy, and they've been doing that over the course of time here. And we all benefit from that. So if Xcel is utilizing more solar and more wind and renewable energy to produce the electricity that, you know, comes to people's individual homes, that's a good thing too. So it's going to take many different types of projects and efforts. And I would agree with Kate. I think there are some things that we haven't maybe even thought about yet that that over the course of time we'll discover and try to improve upon and work towards this together.
Yeah, Mayor Cabot, both you and Kate have now brought up Xcel making this commitment to be carbon neutral themselves in 2050. You know, I wonder, you said this has been kind of an important part of moving towards this, but I mean, would this goal be realistic if we didn't have Xcel as a major utility provider setting their own goals? Would it be realistic for La Crosse?
I think it would be very challenging, very difficult to do that if your largest energy provider wasn't also on board. I think that was, again, we saw from a few years ago the city of Madison and the fact that Madison Gas and Electric was part of their discussion from really kind of a similar approach to look at a way to partner up and have the utility look at more renewable energies and reducing the reliance on fossil fuels to produce the energy for the community. We had, based on, you know, Madison's experience, we had some similar discussions with Xcel, and I do think that it would be very difficult to see how we could get there if Xcel was not a big partner all along.
Yeah, Kate, I wonder if it's a similar experience in Eau Claire that, you know, these goals may not be feasible if you didn't have utilities stepping up.
I think it's a huge benefit that we have an energy utility who's a national leader in renewable energy. But I do think it's a bit of a chicken before the egg kind of situation where, you know, there are communities in Wisconsin who are passing these commitments, cities like Green Bay, who have energy utilities who have not made yet commitments to renewable energy. But in making those commitments on the municipal level, that's sending a signal to their utilities that their customers expect them to keep up with the market and to keep up with the evolution of our energy. And so I want to recognize that we're extremely fortunate here in Western Wisconsin and really enables us to make aggressive goals like this. But for communities who are not being served by utilities who are such leaders in renewable energies, that doesn't mean that they shouldn't, you know, get started and start that conversation with their utility that this is the expectation.
You know, we're talking about how this is, you know, many different people kind of need to be rowing in the same direction to kind of meet these goals for renewable energy, you know, not only residents making changes, but business communities, the city, as Mayor Cabot said, leading by example. Kate, I wonder if you could explain, I mean, do we know, I guess, who is maybe the most important piece of changing that? Who are the biggest users of energy who are really going to help drive some of these goals?
Yeah, that's something that I think about a lot, actually. We know that, I guess I don't have figures for the state of Wisconsin, but we do know that nationally, 70% of our carbon emissions are emitted by just 100 companies. And so we know that, at least nationally, the greatest share of carbon emissions is from large corporations. And so I am a huge advocate of, you know, personal and residential stewardship, but we just can't get there without these policies on the local, state, and federal level that are really significantly cutting back on emissions across the board. We know that I have a figure here somewhere. I think in Wisconsin, residential energy usage makes up less than 30% of carbon emissions. And so, you know, while that figure in Wisconsin might not be as stark as the national figure, I think that we're seeing that, you know, commercial and industrial carbon emissions is really the biggest piece of the pie.
I mean, because we know that, do you feel like we need to be, you know, taking that into consideration as city governments like in Eau Claire and here in La Crosse, you know, work with businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why here in Eau Claire, we're working with, you know, folks from the unions to create our renewable energy action plan. We're working with folks from energy producers. We're working with folks from waste management that are, you know, could contribute to carbon emissions. We're working with folks from the transportation sector and from private businesses to all put our brains together to find solutions that are going to not only reach our goal, but also not leave anybody behind. We want to be making sure that we're reaching the goals, our goals, in the most fiscally responsible way, in the most aggressive way to actually reach those goals, and also in a way that's not going to be hurting anybody, any workers or any people living within our communities who might be impacted by these solutions.
Mayor Cabot, you mentioned that, you know, we already see businesses, organizations in our community kind of proactively doing these things. But do you see, the talking about energy use and, carbon use being a factor, I guess, as the city works with bringing in new businesses or helping businesses expand in our community?
I would say yes. I think the relationships that we have built and will continue to build and nurture are very important. It's not only the very large institutions like the Gunnarsons or the Western Technical College that are making these commitments, but it's our locally owned smaller businesses as well. And if there are ways, again, that we can help with technical support or raising awareness or sitting down and trying to solve those problems, the city government is very much interested and ready to do that. The other part of it too is the sharing that goes on. People learn from each other, and that's, I think, one of the great things about the local level is that, again, you kind of set those egos and set the some of the partisan issues aside, and you really focused on how do we really make this work and meet our goals. And the Sustainability Institute here in La Crosse over the last 5-10 years has really been instrumental in having those opportunities for networking and sharing and best practices, so that companies don't have to develop all these solutions on their own. They actually have technical and other resources available to them so that they can, kind of hit the ground running with some of these solutions.
La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot is here with us today to talk about the City of La Crosse's new goal to become 100% reliant on renewable energy by 2050. He's joined by Eau Claire City Council member Kate Beaton. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the future of renewable energy and how it will influence La Crosse and other Wisconsin communities. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a new goal set by the City of La Crosse for the community to use 100% renewable energy by the year 2050. Four other Wisconsin communities, including Eau Claire, have set the same goal. Joining us to talk about the issue are Tim Cabot, Mayor of the City of La Crosse, and Kate Beaton, an Eau Claire City Council member and organizer for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Kate, I wonder how important it is to, in getting state and federal government to also get behind some of these, initiatives and goals to switch to more renewable energy. I mean, how much is that going to play a factor in Eau Claire and other communities' ability to reach these goals?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, nationally, 70% of our carbon emissions are emitted by only 100 companies. And so there's a lot that we can do on the local level in local communities like Eau Claire and La Crosse. But there's just more that needs to happen on the federal and also the state level. We are seeing in national polls and Wisconsin state polls that voters and people across the country, Democrat, Republican, or Independent, are supporting moves toward towards clean energy. We're seeing conservative organizations and liberal organizations pop up that are supporting clean energy, both because we need to be stewards of our natural environment and protecting our planet for our future generations, but also because it's becoming the fiscally responsible thing to do, and there are growing concerns over national security over energy. And so to see the federal and state government lag behind those that public support for clean energy is frustrating. I do want to say that we had opportunities this year in our state budget. The governor introduced a couple of different ideas related to carbon goals, as well as establishing an Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy. But unfortunately, those were removed from the budget by the Joint Finance Committee. And so I think, we absolutely need the state and federal government to get on board with the people of Wisconsin and the people of this country so that we can achieve these goals. It's absolutely essential. And so, I think I just want to say that anybody listening should continue to relay those messages to their state and federal representatives.
Yeah, you bring up the budget. I mean, how much of this is not just publicly supporting renewable energy efforts, but also, kind of putting our money where our mouth is on this?
Yeah, so Governor Evers also proposed a creation of a $4 million renewable and clean energy research grant within the budget, as well as proposed a goal of 100% renewable energy by 2050. That was sort of an administrative goal that would see, financial support later, and all, those things were all removed from the budget. And so currently, the state government, unfortunately, is not keeping up with our local commitments and not keeping up with the public support in Wisconsin.
Mayor Cabot, you mentioned La Crosse has benefited from state initiatives to improve energy efficiencies and the like. I wonder what your thoughts are on if the state can do more to kind of move the needle in this area.
They definitely can do more, and we need both state and federal partners to be part of this overall solution. I think that's why there was such a dramatic response when the president pulled the country, pulled our nation out of the climate agreement that was reached in Paris, because there's this sense that it's not going to be a simple or easy solution, and we really need all hands on deck to address this. So I totally agree that both the state and federal governments have huge roles to play. The opportunities, again, for sharing, for the technical information, for raising awareness and sharing best practices alone would be so significant if the state was better able to do that. And not only, obviously the state itself is a consumer of energy, so all of its facilities and, the transportation fleet and all of those types of things. I would agree with something that Kate had said. It really is becoming a very fiscal responsible thing to do, is to invest in clean energy and in greater energy efficiencies, because you end up saving tax dollars. So definitely the state and federal partners have to be involved in this.
Mayor Cabot, how is the city of La Crosse thinking about equity in this effort and making sure that low-income or underserved communities within La Crosse are also able to participate in some of these initiatives?
Well, we really, one of our goals that we really focused on just recently with the Mayor's Home Energy Challenge was to have equity to be part of that consideration. So to provide incentives, and there was actually some greater incentive for folks that were in our low and moderate income households here in La Crosse to be able to participate in the program. And we have a standalone housing rehabilitation program that our city administers, and we combined that with the incentives that focus on energy in Excel provided. So we did look at trying to have a very significant impact with people that are, again, of low or moderate income levels. I think as we go forward and we see especially impacts in parts of our community, you know, typically here in La Crosse, the areas where we see greater levels of poverty also coincide with some of the older housing stock and older infrastructure parts of our city. So we are focused really in a targeted approach to try to build more affordable housing and help facilitate more affordable housing in those areas. We're also working on our infrastructure, so replacing and making the new infrastructure more resilient. I think those are all, that's all part of that effort really to make sure that all members of our community benefit from these initiatives.
Yeah, Kate, I would pose a similar question to you of how Eau Claire is ensuring that all residents are able to benefit from the savings, the energy efficiency, and also just contribute to this, to lower carbon emissions.
Yeah, I really appreciate that question. You know, here in Eau Claire, we recognize that climate change and air pollution and water pollution are impacting people disproportionately based on income or race, and we also recognize that the solutions may be impacting people differently. We want to be really careful not to come up with the solutions that are going to be hurting people in creating you know, spaces in our city that are more expensive and inaccessible to live in. And so I'm excited to hear that La Crosse is having this this conversation within the context of affordable housing, and that's exactly what's happening here in Eau Claire too. We are undergoing a big conversation about affordable housing, and it's lining up really nicely that we're also having a big conversation about clean energy, and those conversations are really coinciding nicely. We're really looking for ways to build affordable housing that is more efficient, perhaps affordable housing that has that is at least built ready to incorporate clean energy, if not already using clean energy. Beyond that, you know, we really see our both the clean energy initiatives and also affordable housing and income insecurity initiatives as really holistic problems. And so we are we're constantly looking for ways to improve our infrastructure that both serves people of low income and other underserved populations, and also cuts carbon emissions. So things like building up our bicycle infrastructure to make it more easy and also appealing to be biking rather than driving, that cuts emissions and also provides transportation access for people who might not be able to afford a car. We're looking for ways to improve our transit system, kind of achieving those same things. And so we want to be addressing both of those issues really head on and being really proactive and building that infrastructure, but also looking for ways to impact those the income insecurity issues and the climate issues really holistically.
That's Eau Claire City Council member Kate Beaton here with us today to talk about efforts to make cities, including La Crosse and Eau Claire, powered solely by renewable energy. She's joined by La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Kate, you mentioned earlier that, you know, some of the technology that it's going to take to help us get to this place, you know, it hasn't even been developed yet and is still in that process. And so I wonder, you know, Excel has also identified that as, you know, recognize that fact in their setting their goals. I wonder how we know or how we can be certain that there's going to be momentum to get us there.
That's something that I think about a lot, and just to kind of build off of what you said, Xcel Energy has set these goals of 100% renewable energy by 2050, and they have a really solid plan to make it to 80% by 2030. They don't have a plan to reach that last 20% by 2050, and they're relying they're putting their faith in the development of technology to get them there and get our communities here in western Wisconsin and then their service territory there to 100%. You know, I think that we, that's all we can do is put our faith in that evolution of technology. And as I see technology rapidly improving, it seems exponentially. I do have faith that in the next 30 years that we'll that we'll find those solutions. But of course, we can't be sure. We just have to. I think that uncertainty though can't hold us back from cutting the emissions that we can right now. There's a lot that we can do with the technology that we have. Xcel Energy is getting us to 80% with the technology that they have, and so I've been saying that we can't, you know, just because we can't see the finish line doesn't mean that we can't start the race. And cutting those carbon emissions that we can right now makes a huge difference in the context of climate change and protecting our world.
Mayor Cabot, how are La Crosse officials thinking about or talking about this kind of leap of faith that is kind of towards the end of this?
Well, I don't know that I have much to add to what Kate has already discussed. I think that is one of the big challenges is not knowing exactly how we're going to get all the way to 100% renewable. You know, the fact that we still have there's so much, even though we feel like we've picked a lot of the low-hanging fruit over the last 10 years, it seems like there's more that happens or that's available for us to still reduce the amount of energy that's required for our facilities. And I had mentioned our electric bus conversion with our MTU, our transit system. I mean, there are many of those opportunities. We're doing a very significant renovation and expansion of the La Crosse Center here. Part of that will include solar renewable energy on the roof and utilizing part of that to help with, again, just, you know, our what we need for energy for that facility. So I do think that there is still, even without the technology piece and some of that unknown, there's still so much that we can be doing every day here locally to improve our energy efficiencies, to work with the Xcel Energies to show and to demand that we want more energy produced by renewables. And again, it gets back to kind of projects big and small and in between that we're working on and will continue to work on to get us there.
Are there plans to engage the community in some of these planning and kind of discussions that are taking place right now?
At this point, it's very early, but the short answer would be yes. We have to work with our community members. I mean, that's really the integral part of how we're going to get our whole community to be to meet that very ambitious goal by the year 2050. It can't just be the city government saying, you know, we're going to do this and everybody's going to fall in line. It really is a part of more of a, you know, local grassroots effort to see what other ways and the ideas that our citizens have. And we have very, you know, we've got very strong and engaged citizens and groups here in La Crosse that are in some ways pushing us as a local government, but also they're wanting to partner to be able to help with education and information and opportunities to share best practices with each other. So I think I think our community is definitely the driving force here, and the fact that the surveys and the things that were talked about earlier in the show, that there is support for this type of effort, again, because it, you know, it's part of our responsibility to be stewards, but it's also from a local budget standpoint, it is very fiscally smart to make these investments and then to realize the savings over the long haul.
Kate, we've already talked about how Eau Claire was kind of the first city to publicly make this this goal of being carbon neutral by 2050. And we've seen Madison, Monona, Middleton, now La Crosse kind of join in. Do you know of other communities in the state that are also looking at similar goals?
So the Green Bay mayor actually committed to 100% renewable energy after 3 days after he was elected in April. I would add Green Bay to that list. They have a recently created sustainability commission that is working on a plan to reach those goals. I'm also working in the city of Menominee in my work with Wisconsin conservation voters to build support for the city council committing to 100% renewable energy by 2050 as well. And we're with Wisconsin conservation voters, we recognize that while there may not be, you know, the support within the legislature to be more aggressively pursuing clean energy, there's a lot of support in local communities and there's a lot of interest in from citizens and also local city councils and town boards and county boards to be pursuing this. And so our, as a statewide organization, policy organization, we're working to find communities and engage them and help empower them to take on these initiatives for municipal climate or clean energy goals.
Very briefly, as we wrap up here, how could this change the state if we see more communities jumping on board?
I think that we're already seeing it change, seeing these initiatives change the state. We've seen numerous communities just in the last couple of years step up and say that we do have more power on the local level, and we're seeing that really energize people on the grassroots level. I think that as we continue to set these goals, we'll only see that energy increase, and hopefully we'll see that energy translate to the state and federal legislatures.
Kate Beaton, an Eau Claire City Council member and organizer for Wisconsin Conservation Voters, and Tim Cabot, mayor of the City of La Crosse, joined us to talk about La Crosse's new plan to become 100% powered by renewable energy by 2050. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at WPR.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers.